Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk about second chance employment and other things this morning. Tanya Garnett is back with us, and she's brought a guest that we're going to be introduced to in just a second. Tanya, it's so good to have you back. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. I'm so thrilled to be here. I love this program. I love how much you care about the community, and I'm just so happy to be here.
Well, we met earlier in the year, and you have a great story and a book. Enough is enough. I won't be a statistic.
Yes.
And you were just telling me the last time you were here, the way to get this book was to get it through you. But as of today, that changes.
Officially today, anyone can order it on any online book outlet, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, any of those places, Amazon. Amazon is the primary source, I'm sure. And I'm working on the audio version. I'm working with the local studio, Blue Stallion Solutions, and we're doing the audio version right now.
So what's that like? I've always wondered. I mean, do you just actually sit and read the book?
You do, but mine is going to be a little different because I'm not reading the entire book. I'm reading the introduction, the acknowledgments, and then I have someone else that is coming in and reading the chapters. Then at the end of each chapter, I come back in on the audio and add things that I thought about after I wrote the book, things that are evolving as I'm walking through our community and meeting other people and connecting the dots from my experience to how people succeed in their life now. And that's going to be on the audiobook. So it motivates people to get the audiobook because you won't be able to read it.
Right. What a great way to do that, though, because it, and especially with this kind of book that tells your story and your survival story and where you're at now. So that's a great thing to be able to add to the book.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I think the most important part is not that this is my story and a memoir of what I survived, because it really culminates in what I'm experiencing now and how I'm thriving. You know, we talk about you shouldn't look like what you went through.
Yeah.
It's because your focus needs to be on what are you thriving in today? What are you walking in today? And that's one of the reasons I continue to have these conversations in the community is I want to be part of other people rebuilding their lives, especially if they've walked through trauma. Because the thing is, I've never met not one single person that hasn't been through trauma.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It just takes different forms and in different levels.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I know we're going to talk about second chance employment today, but the reason we're going to talk about second chance employment is because we have so many people in our community, in this Fredericksburg region, that they've been through things and they need a second chance. So sometimes you met me through Juanita Shanks at Failsafe Era, and I still work with this great organization mm-hmm. because I teach their virtual class, Courage to Change. One of the components of that class is seeking employment. So we take people that have been incarcerated and we teach them the basics. But what I really like to do is hit it from a holistic perspective that, hey, I have been incarcerated, but why did I end up there? It was tracing back the traumas in life, and that's what this book originally does, yeah. The things I've been through. So I have created this lifeboard method to be able to show other people what they need in their life in order to transform into the being that, you know, can take those second chances by the reins when they get them. But I also have this history of being in human resources as a profession over 18 years. So I was a person that was employed by corporations and hiring individuals. So I like to talk about the conversation as well. How do we look at that untapped talent that's out there rather than looking at what their record is and how their past has defined where they're at? Look at where are the possibilities of where they can go? Mm-hmm. Who are they today? And then my friend here that I brought with me, Melissa Brown, she's at the root of a recovery ecosystem that's being created here in the Fredericksburg region. And I want her to talk about that.
Melissa, welcome.
Hi.
It's nice.
Thank you for having me.
It is nice to have you here. Talk about, because you've got a couple of organizations.
I do. Thank you again for having me on the show. The first organization I acquired was Homes Empowering Recovery. It is a network of sober living houses in the Fredericksburg downtown area. It is to help people that are coming from detox, rehab, jails, people that actually don't have any of that background, just need supportive housing while they're trying to get back on their feet again.
Sure.
So I have three and about to have a fourth sober living house in Fredericksburg. And then last week, I acquired a outpatient treatment center for substance use disorder called Conscious Healing. It is an organization that was founded by Christine and Tom Capshu, who really instilled that trauma is a leading factor of substance use disorder. And everybody that walks through the doors of that company feels it. You can feel it from the way you're spoken to. You can feel it from literally the ground up. And so what I've planned on doing is to continue to grow that organization and offer other services like workforce development, peer recovery support services, so that somebody that walks in the door of Conscious Healing or Homes Empowering Recovery can get the wraparound complete services that they need to be able to get back on their feet again.
We're going to take a quick break, come back and talk about a little bit about your story and how you got involved with this, and then we got a lot of ground to cover here, Tanya. Thank you for setting this up. Tanya Garnett is here. Melissa Brown is here. We are talking just about a lot of second chances this morning, and we'll take a break and continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Tanya Garnett and Melissa Brown here this morning as we talk about second chances. And Melissa, you just explained a little bit about Homes Empowering Recovery and Conscious Healing. How'd you get involved in all of this? I'm sure there's a story here.
I have a bit of a story. I found myself at a very early age in active addiction myself, and that story led me down actually with a lot of traumatic experiences, and given those traumatic experiences, I think it led me down a road of needing and wanting attention, needing and wanting things that I had a hole. And in that process, I started to fill it with drugs and alcohol and things like that from a very young age. And as I continued to grow, that addiction just grew bigger and bigger. And by the time I was 27, I was in the throes of active addiction to cocaine and other substances as well. And that landed me in doing things that I would probably have never done prior. And that landed me actually in jail and then in prison. From there, I stayed in prison for about 8 years. When I got out, the one thing that I knew is that there was no way that I was going to survive if I didn't get a new life. And so from that point forward, I met a wonderful man that allowed me to go to school and finish my degree that I had started while I was in prison. When I finished my degree, I went back to school and became a certified substance abuse counselor. I got a job in that field after being turned down multiple times for entry level positions in the community, and then started in that field. After I'd been in that field for about a year or a year and a half, the owner of the company came to me and said, "You're not allowed to work in this field." And so the state had given me a certified substance abuse counselor license. I had went to school. I'd went through all of those. And there's a law in the state of Virginia called a barrier crime law. And because my crime was on that list, there's 172 crimes on that list, anywhere from laser pointer to a police officer, or assaulting somebody in a drunken stupor, to possession, to, you know, killing somebody. That's the range of crimes on there. And so that kind of led me down a road. I continued to work for that employer for 4 years. He hired me. He changed me from a employee to a contractor. So I stayed with him for 4 years, but a new company came in and bought the company. And when they came in about 6 months later, they're like, we can't keep you even as a contractor.
Yeah.
So from there, the company really did value me as an employee though. So they put me in a non-direct care position as a marketer to go out and market their services, even though I still had direct contact with clients all the time. And I did that for 8 years for the same company. And so that really led me on the journey to where I am now. The determination and drive, if you just have the drive and determination to have a better life, you can have one. You know, there are opportunities. They're not flowing opportunities out there. You are going to hit a lot of brick walls along the way, but there is a way. Of course, that's how I've gotten to own the companies that I am today. A lot of it comes just from the passion inside of me to help others, and to help others that have been in the same position as me, maybe not in prison, but the same position in regards to, they want to rebuild their lives, and I want to provide those pathways. And I've been in this, working in this industry, and from personal experience, what I've learned is that unless you put all the supports in place, then there's gaps. There's gaps for housing. There's gaps for treatment. There's gaps for workforce development. You need all of those things, and peer support and mentorship and all of those things. And maybe even Tanya's life board method to get to where you need to be. Because obviously you made the wrong choices, but that shouldn't define the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
I was gonna say, boy, Tanya, that speaks of a lot of things that you always talk about.
Always, because your past does not need to define you. One of the things I shared with Melissa this morning, I was meditating and thinking about, why is it that people, individuals, struggle so much with seeing themselves in a better position, in a better place? Because if you change your mind, you change your life. So it really is a thought process. And I thought about it and I'm like, you know what? We as individuals are the only ones that have heard every lie we've told, have known every wrong we've taken. No one else knows it all, but we do. So if we keep rehearsing those things in your mind, you're not going to go anywhere. That's how we're letting our past define our future. So it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be substance use disorder. It doesn't have to be incarceration. It can be anything from your average person. If they are thinking about the wrong turns they've taken, it is difficult to take the right turns. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is focus on, where are you going? Where do you want to end up? And the I am that you start with forms your identity. I shared with her, if I speak about myself, I remember a time when I would say, I am unworthy. But now I say, I am brilliant. I am enough. And that makes a difference. Forming your identity, understanding not only where you want to go, but who you are today.
Also, Melissa, in tying into your story too, like you said, I can see how the two of you have very similar personalities and drives. But also, it does take, you had employers that valued you.
Yes.
And we're going to work with you. And so getting the word out and getting the word to people and changing other people's minds and hearts in this is important too. Because like you said, you're gonna have some roadblocks naturally, but you do need people to have open hearts and minds in a lot of this, and just say, you know, no, I'm not going to take a chance.
Yeah, I think there's programs out there and tax benefits for people to for taking on people that need second chances. And but on top of that, it really is about seeing somebody. You have to take a person as who they are right now. Like I am nothing like I was when I was 27 years old, mm-hmm. and at the pinnacle of my addiction. Nothing. I look back at that time and I'm like, who was that person? Right? But now, like through all of the experiences, it does take drive and determination, but it also takes people to have open hearts to the fact that people do change.
Right.
And to recognize that change, you change through the years, right? Mm-hmm. Look back over your life and see what has happened over your life. Other people can change too.
Yeah. So that's so, and that's why this message is so important.
It is. So, you know, in my book, I talk about everybody believes in second chances until they're asked to get one. Give one. Mm-hmm. Until they're asked to give one. So when you think about that, that means you need to go beyond the heart of saying, yes, I believe in second chances. You need to take the action. And since I've been out in the community, I'm referring to myself now as a hope and opportunity connector. Because now that I'm out in the community building relationships, I am finding great people like Melissa, like Juanita Shanks. I'm finding that they're willing to do the work to create these opportunities for other people. And I'm working on both sides. I'm certified peer recovery specialist. We talked about me getting the training for that, and I've built the hours so I can be certified by the state. What Melissa referred to with her counseling license is also a barrier for someone like me that is, yeah, I'm forging forward in a lot of ways, but those barrier crimes, that list, I have one on that list, possession of
controlled substance.
Yeah.
There's a 5-year period. I cannot go work for direct care agencies because I have a barrier crime. But yet here I am connecting the dots, building relationships, working with my peers so that they can get to their next level. So I believe that we just need to keep this conversation in front of our community, in front of the lawmakers, in front of the people that actually can make decisions to make a difference. That's why I want to continue to have this conversation.
Yeah, no, it's an important conversation because it's kind of like everyone's for second chances, like you say, until all of a sudden you're asked to be the one to step in and say, yes, I believe in you.
Yes. And the thing is, what Melissa mentioned about the tax credits, they're there. So we need to tell more local business owners about WOTC. It's the Work Opportunity Tax Credit. There's two really big things that are important to employers. And I love using the number two, but guess what? The first thing is we can all count to the number two.
Yes, we can.
Maybe can't count to a trillion, but we could count to two. One is the Work Opportunity Tax Credit.
Yeah.
Those are benefits that go right back into the pocket of the business owner. The second is that if there is someone with a criminal background, the state of Virginia is willing to put forth a bond. Mm-hmm. It's a $5,000 bond that if that person does do anything that that infringes upon the employment, there's a bond, and the state of Virginia will, you know, put their trust in that person to say, hire them, because we're backing them with this bond.
Yeah.
I love
that's
that.
Amazing.
Those and the
that's a great.
I can't explain it all, but I will tell you the big beautiful bill You know, there's negatives and positives. Well, guess what? There's more positives for employers than they even are aware of.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other component to all this, and where this we talk about people wanting to make the change and having the drive to do it, what you're doing, Melissa, with these homes is so important, because a person needs to get from here to there. You oftentimes you're gonna need something like this, and that's where you can be the you can be kind of the landing place and help people put their lives together.
Yes, there's something, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Oh, sure.
Right. If somebody doesn't have food, clothing, shelter, right, how are they ever going to get on their feet?
Yeah,
how are
not.
They ever going to get to a job? How are they ever going to turn their lives around? And so by acquiring these homes, it allows people that have no jobs, a lot of them may even have gone to the point of homelessness, to be able to move into a place that's supportive of their recovery and doesn't have other people there doing things that, you know, that they shouldn't be doing.
Absolutely.
And so that provides the support they need to also either have treatment with it, or at least provides the support around them that they need, drug screening and meeting, going to meetings and going to church and those types of things to be able to get back on their feet again.
No, this just seems like a lifesaver for a lot of people that can't. They need this to be able to make that next step, to be able to make that transition.
Yes, they do. It's a much needed thing. A lot of the systems right now, there's not many agencies in the state of Virginia. There are some, but not many, that provide a full the ability for someone to get completely on their feet after this has been dealt to them in their life.
If someone wants to get in touch with you about either of these places, what's the best way to get in touch with you, Melissa?
They can call me at 540-402-1199, or they can email me at info@conscioushealingva.com.
We'll give that again before we get out of here. Okay. Out of here this morning. Melissa Brown is here. Tanya Garnett is here. We're talking second chances. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Melissa Brown and Tanya Garnett here this morning as we talk about second chances and some opportunities, things going on in the community. Melissa is the CEO of Homes Empowering Recovery and Conscious Healing, and Tanya is, how do I describe you, Tanya, as a...
Hope and Opportunity Connector.
That's right. You use that word, a Hope and Opportunity Connector. You wanted to talk about just some of the things, kind of the new me.
I do. So... if you go to my website, which is tanyatalksnow.com, I talk a lot about helping people rise. That's why I call myself an Opportunity and Hope Connector, because I'm building these relationships where I'm working directly with my peers. So people that have been through trauma, trauma could include grief, substance use, incarceration, mental illness, all of these things. Well, you've got these things attacking you in your mind. Well, where do you go from there? I'm also working with the organization that are helping people rise and connecting those dots. So if you've been through something and you're headed to your next level, then how do you do that? How do you represent the new me? Because you know it inside that you're not your past. But in order for someone else to see you differently, then you need to lead with caution and confidence. So that confidence comes out of you by introducing yourself, focusing on the value that you bring today. You need to reframe your story before someone else does, because sometimes your story is already out there. It's in the news, it's public. Then before someone else tells your story, will you tell it? you tell it the way you want it to be told. And that helps you reframe and represent the new you. Building relationships, not just contacts. So it's easy to build, you know, a list of I met this person and that person. But if you build a relationship that is centered around not yourself, but centered around what's the value you bring to them? How do you make a difference in their lives? People see you differently. Because when you start to talk to someone, they're not interested actually about you. What they're interested is, what can you do for them? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we just have to be realistic about the way society is set up. That's what they're interested in. So if I'm representing the new me needs to be about, how do I make a difference? How do I make a change in someone's life? Because if you give, you get, you receive. So representing the new you is all about giving back. That's what I like to tell my peers, is get involved in your community, get involved in the things you care about, that you're passionate about. Because if you do that, then your life, just the ecosystem, the things around you change. Because you're all about giving, and you're grateful for where you are, and suddenly you're transforming.
And you're showing people that as you get involved, you're showing them that you have changed.
Yes, your character.
They can see it. Yes, they'll be able to see it.
If your character is consistent, people around you can see the change, and that is the new you. Mm. Yeah,
that's so true.
It is.
That is so true.
And it's. I guess one of the things when you talk about this Tanya too is it takes time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight.
And it's not. That's why consistency is important.
Right. Yeah.
It's not going to happen overnight, but if you stay focused, and when sometimes people ask me, well, I want to be like you. And I'm talking about the people that I have met in the jail and people in substance use, things like that. They said, well, I want to write a book. I want to go out there. I want to create my own company. I want to do those things. Well, then I say to them, guess what? I wake up at 4 a.m. By 5 a.m, I am exercising. While I'm exercising my physical body, I'm also exercising my mind.
Yeah.
Because what's going in me is wisdom, not just motivational talk and inspiration, but wisdom of how do I use the information that I'm getting. So by 7 a.m, I'm looking at, you know, where do I need to be and when do I need to be there? And I'm doing it intentionally. Intentional living makes the biggest difference. I don't let life just happen. I'm in control. Yeah. I design my life.
You talked earlier. We've talked a little bit about it. In the last time you were here, we talked about the concept of your life board. Describe that quickly. What's involved in that? Because that's something that anybody can.
Absolutely. Anyone can do it. So, you know, with me, here's the thing. I knew that I needed to rebuild my life, but I did not necessarily have all the wherewithal, everything in me to rebuild it. And I thought back on when I was in professional positions, who did I report to? Typically a CEO or a board of directors. And you look at these companies that are successful with the board guiding them. Why not me?
Mm-hmm.
Why not have people that are invested in me that will help me rebuild? So I created a board of directors for my life. Literally, I have a COO that creates strategy and operation around what I want to change my life and impact in. I have a CFO, someone that understands, doesn't give me money, doesn't design where my money goes, but understands how wealth is built and what to do with it. I have CMO, a chief marketing officer. So I have a structure around me of people that know how to present yourself in the arena you want to be in. I have a spiritual advisor. That's not a pastor or a minister. It's a real person that has the same values and spiritual insight that I have, believes those things and keep me grounded. And it's not about Tanya. It's about, for me, it's my relationship with Christ. They keep me grounded in that. They pray for me. They lift me up. Mm-hmm. And then I have someone that encourages me. And so this is my full circle. Someone that reminds me what my dream is, why I got there and where I'm going. Because you don't always wake up on fire. I don't lie to people. You do not always wake up on fire.
You do not.
So for me, it's my husband. He connects the dots there with that hope and encouragement and keeps me grounded there. So I thought about, okay, everyone doesn't necessarily create a board of directors the way I did, but everyone can create a circle of people that have something that they don't have. We are here to help one another. So you create the right information, the right people, the right education based on where you want to go. And that's what I call the life board method right now. And I'm walking that out and writing my second book, which is called Built to Rise. And I'm designing it with this life board method of first identifying where you are and then where you want to go, building your core values, determining what your identity is, and taking them every step of the way.
When's your next book coming out?
That is a very interesting question, and I need to ask God about that.
Okay, so you're still
writing. I have goals. I would like the next book to come out at the end of the summer. I actually have
that. Oh, that quickly?
Yeah, I actually have that. September 1st is what I would like.
Okay.
But God is in control.
Right. Yeah. When it comes together.
It will roll out as it does.
Melissa Brown, CEO of Homes Empowering Recovery in Conscious Healing. A lot of the things that Tanya just talked about, I guess, are part of the core of what these homes, when you're dealing with people and getting them back on their feet that you employ.
Yeah. So I don't employ the life board method yet, but I definitely put all those pieces in place for them, right? So I make sure that they have access and can connect with employers. I make sure that they have the treatment they need to continue. I make sure that they get the mentorship and the peer recovery support that they need, as well as addressing their mental health, their physical health, making sure that they have a doctor to connect to. A lot of people have not been to the doctor for many years because they've neglected their body, making sure that they have a primary care physician. It's as simple as that, making sure that they have mental health medication medicated assisted treatment medication, if that's what they need.
Yeah.
So putting all of those pieces in place are really important. But to go back also to the workforce development type, we are currently building, along with a partner organization, we are building a workforce development program that will focus on business entrepreneurship. It will also focus on peer development, and it will also focus on trades like plumbing, electrical, maybe even we haven't fully dived into like cosmetology and things like that. But we're definitely working out the details of that, because what we do know and what I know from personal experience is when you come out of something like this, and if you have if you had a life before that, it's probably going to look different now.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have the skills that you need, then you need to be taught the skills that you need to be able to become successful. And I don't mean there's a place for working. There's a place for people to work in fast food, and there's a place for people to work in restaurants. But typically people with substance use disorder can't go back and work in a restaurant, and they can, but it's a lot harder for them to stay on their feet that way, because there's alcohol and other substances there.
Sure.
So giving them the opportunity to create a life outside of that is really, really important. And providing a pathway for them to get there is really important. So that's what we're looking to do.
Well, and it all goes into you're working with just the whole recovery effort. It's not only a what's in you, but giving you a skill.
It's
to
giving
be able
you
to
a
do
skill.
Something.
Yes, it is, and it's all about giving back. One of the things that I instill in everybody, in both of the companies that I own is you only have what you have by giving it away. And I know that, you know, to some people they're like, no, we need to keep what we have earned or done. But I don't know how many people have volunteered for like our shelter, our Thurman Brisma shelter, or volunteered with church or volunteered with other things. The act of giving things away, giving your time away, and time is the most precious mm-hmm, thing mm-hmm. that you have.
Yeah.
Giving your time away is very valuable. But I'll tell you, in the circle of things, it comes back to you every single time.
It does. I mean, I'm a prime example of that. I came home July 1st of 2025. I came out of incarceration. And I wanted to, I call it pay the light bill, go out and get a job. Then there were barriers to me getting employment. So for me, it was a spiritual exercise. I said, okay, nobody's going to pay me for my time, so I'm going to go give my time away. Mm-hmm. And that is how I started volunteering with Failsafe ERA. So if you want to get in touch with them, you're rebuilding your life from incarceration, failsafe-era.org. I started giving my time away and helping others. Through doing that, I connected with other organizations like Melissa Brown, and now I do have income coming in, but it's almost a year later. How did I support my household? Yes, I have a partner, I have a husband, but in reality, I believe that because I gave my time, that I continued to be provided for, because every time I give something away, it's poured back in me.
Mm-hmm. The same. I volunteered for 5 years for Zoe Freedom Center, which is another nonprofit substance use, faith-based substance use disorder, outpatient treatment center and home here locally in Fredericksburg. And they, you know, giving to that organization for 5 years was it actually filled my soul just as much as I'm sure that it helped other people.
This is so interesting because, I mean, you're both of you both have a kind of a blueprint of each in your own way of how you've done it. And there's not any one way to do this, but there are ways, and there are helps out there that you both have talked about. That there are helps in ways to be able to reestablish yourself.
Yes.
There are definitely helps out there, and that's, you know, we talk about those, but there is one consistent way, and that's why we keep saying give. Gratitude.
Yeah. Yes.
Anytime, so I said you don't wake up on fire every day. When I struggle, and I do still struggle sometimes with mental health and depression, when that does happen, I look around me at the things I should be grateful for. And gratitude is the single solution, I believe, for everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm sure. I mean, when in your situations, you can at times just look at and it just seems too overwhelming. But when you have things like Melissa, especially the various two businesses you have, you are able to give people some structure and some helps in that way.
Yeah. I worked for other organizations that were doing that and honestly didn't even see myself on this path. I knew I had a 20-year dream to open transitional housing for people from prison. That was the dream. And it's funny how God works, right? Because Homes Empowering Recovery was founded by a wonderful woman that used to be a lawyer in this community. And she opened it and had to move to another place. And it literally dropped in my lap at the right time, at the right place, and it with the right amount of financial support that I needed to give it. And so I really consider it a God thing, to be honest, that that all of this has come about, because really the only dream was this very small dream of transitional housing, and now, you know, I'm putting all the pieces together. And I've been in treatment so long, in the treatment industry so long, that I see the holes that that happen with people that leave treatment and don't have housing, leave treatment and don't have workforce development, leave treatment and don't have continuing treatment.
And they probably go right back.
And they go right back every single time. No wonder recidivism, right? You know, we talk about recidivism for prison and jail, but also relapse rates are very, very high if you don't have the right supports in place for these people.
Need to take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap this up this morning with Melissa and Tanya. News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Melissa Brown is here this morning, the CEO of Homes Empowering Recovery and Conscious Healing, and Tanya Garrett is here. A hope and opportunity connector. Did I get that right?
Tanya Garnett, hope and opportunity connector. And you know what I definitely want the community to know. I do have a book that is on Amazon.com, Books a Million, Walmart. Just type in my name or Enough is Enough, I Won't Be a Statistic. Grab that book because it's not just about my story. It has a workbook in the end. If you see yourself anywhere in my story, it culminates in a workbook that will help you. I am that hope and opportunity connector. So TanyaTalksNow.com, go to my website and you'll find more information about me.
Melissa, as far as Homes Empowering Recovery and Conscious Healing, to talk to us a little bit about that and how people can get in touch with you, because you've got some programs and some things here that I think that people need to know about.
Yeah, if anybody would like to, if you have somebody struggling with substance use disorder, I can be that connector. Whether it's for our services or some other services, you can reach out to 540-402-1199, or you can email info@consciousheelingva.com. And thank you so much, Ted, for having me on your show today.
Well, I think what you illustrate, Melissa, and Tanya too, both of you illustrate that there are things here. There are things in place for recovery in this area that you may not be aware of.
Yeah, I think sometimes because of the stigma associated with it, that is still very strong, right? It's not necessarily promoted as such. But I am one that believes that everybody should know about these opportunities, not just mine, but others. I believe in connecting people to the whatever resource that they need. Tanya is great at being a hope and opportunity connector, which is why we mesh so well.
Right. I can see that. But and you're right, because especially with the second chance, everybody's, oh, I'm all for it. And then all of a sudden, we want you to be part of it. And it's kind of like not in my neighborhood or not in my backyard kind of thing.
It's so funny how many, when I have went around and talked to employers, right? And they're like, oh, yeah. And then I send somebody there.
Right.
And then they don't get employment. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm like, well, when I'm talking to you about second chances, that's one thing. But when I actually send somebody to you, and that's the stigma that goes along with the disease of addiction. That's the stigma that goes along with mental health disorder. That's the stigma that goes along with incarceration. And I get it. People have made choices that have affected their lives and they're always live with those choices. But again, it doesn't mean that you can't give a second chance. I own a bigger corporation called Second Chance Legacy Partners that actually owns Conscious Healing. And I think that I got that name and developed that name for this very reason.
Interesting. There are many layers to you, Melissa.
There are.
Because I didn't know that either. Just when I thought I got you figured out, there's something else. The same with you, Tanya. You both are great ambassadors for this and just the whole recovery situation, and so we will talk much more about this in the days ahead.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And again, 540-402-1199 if you want to get a hold of Melissa Brown and Homes Empowering Recovery and Unconscious Healing, and for Tanya Garnett and for Enough is Enough, the book, and the book to come. Again, you can get Enough is Enough now on Amazon starting today.
Today, absolutely.
Thank you both. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you for listening. We will see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.